This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistas podcast series, and today I'm speaking with Simon Sinek, the author of Start With Why, How Great Leaders Inspire Everyone to Take Action. He's worked with organizations such as Microsoft, Mars, the U.S. military, members of Congress, multiple government agencies, and multiple entrepreneurs. Simon, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So I want to ask you the very first question that I have for you that I'd love to get your insights on for our Vistage listeners, and that is, when you tell organizations and individuals to start with why, what do you mean by that?
Well, every single organization on the planet functions on three levels. What we do, how we do it, and why we do it. Even our own careers. Everybody knows what they do. Some people know how they do it, but very, very few people know why they do what they do. And by why, I don't mean to make money. That's a result. By why, I mean what's your purpose, what's your cause, what's your belief? Why does your company exist? And what I've learned is that all the great organizations, all the great leaders, all those with the capacity to inspire, every single one of them doesn't start by telling you what they do. They start by telling you why they exist. They start by telling you why they do what they do. They start by telling you what this higher purpose or cause is, and their product or service are simply the things they use to advance that cause. And the reason I recommend people to start with it is because it actually overlaps with the decision-making area of the brain. In other words, the part of the brain that controls rational thought, in other words, all the tangible, measurable stuff, doesn't control behavior. Where the part of the brain that controls behavior, that controls all of our feelings and trust and loyalty, and it's sort of all that inspirational stuff. And so when you start with why, it's actually biologically more effective.
Let me ask you this. Is the why something that we lose touch with as we become older? Is it something that kids have and something that we have when we're younger and it's passion and then it's kind of stripped out of us in terms of why we do what we do and why we make the choices we make because we become much more practical as we get older?
You know, practicality and age and sort of ego and those all go into it for sure. I mean, when you're young and you have nothing, you know, you have nothing to lose. And so, you know, we're driven by passion. As you start to have some success and we start to accumulate, we now become more afraid of losing it. And so we operate in a different way. But it doesn't necessarily have to be associated with age per se. But we lose it. We tend to become foggy of it as we achieve success. It was why we were doing what we're doing that inspired us and sort of filled us with passion when we started. And as we became successful, we started to believe that it was what we were doing and how we were doing it that made us successful, when in reality, those things we weren't very good at anyway. So we lose touch with it more with success, which I guess necessarily comes with age sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the questions I have for you is that if people are aware of something like this, you know, knowing that their why is so powerful in terms of shaping the future of their organization, the success of their organization, we look at organizations like the Apples of the world. Why is it that it's not so common for people to focus on this? How come people are not more concerned with their why?
Well, it's a biological problem. It's like I said before, you know, these three levels of what I call the golden circle, those why, how, and what, they overlap with the decision-making part of the brain. And the part of the brain that controls our behavior doesn't control language. And so it's hard to talk about. This is why we struggle to put our feelings into words. This is why we struggle to explain our purpose beyond sort of, you know, the bits and the bytes and the benefits. It's also the reason why we have a hard time explaining our behavior in general, why we love people and why we do crazy, irrational things like start businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually say, I don't know, I felt compelled to. I don't know, I just felt like I had to do it. I don't know. And we usually dance around it and say, I feel or I felt or my gut or... But in reality, it's all in this limbic brain and this place where the why exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. How do you take that and translate it into the what and into the messaging and the branding of a business?
Well, you have to know why you're sitting on the journey before you can sort of figure out the route and figure out what you're going to do, right? You know, the what's are the tangible manifestations. So if Apple exists to challenge the status quo, if Apple exists to challenge Big Brother and give people simpler alternatives, then if you look at all of their products from the dawn of their company, you know, they always go after industries and after companies that sort of restrict people and tell people they have no choice. Long before Apple even existed, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak were building the little blue box in their garage that helped people avoid paying long-distance rates on their phone bills. In other words, they were challenging Ma Bell, the existing status quo monopoly phone company. Then they founded Apple and they challenged Big Blue, the existing status quo monopoly computer platform, IBM. Then they challenged Microsoft, and then they challenged the music industry, and then they challenged the phone industry, and then they challenged the publishing industry, and if you're in television or movies, you're next. It's a repeating pattern, and it's all the tangible things that they do. It's all their products that they develop. It's all the marketing that they communicate. It's all of their messaging that is singly focused to this one higher purpose, this one higher cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, this idea of why and figuring out your purpose, I think is actually more and more important than it's been at any time in history. And I'm seeing it in the context of organizations and individuals like I've never seen before, because I see it in the blogosphere, I see it on the social web, and I think technology has facilitated people being able to express that. But I also think there's a lot of confusion as to how to find your why. It's a conversation I've had with multiple entrepreneurs, and I've never gotten an answer that I felt was really concrete. And of course, all of them said, well, you can blame Simon for the fact that this is such a big deal. And since I have you here, what I'm really curious about, are there ways that we can figure this out? Are there tactical things that we can do to say, hey, what is my purpose? What is my why?
Yeah, I mean, there's multiple ways to do it, and there's multiple scenarios. I mean, we actually, because we would get the request a lot as well, we actually developed an online course at our website, Start With Why, just for that reason, to help people find their why. But I'll give you a little way that people can do it. It's fun, which is go to your best friends, the people who you love, the people who you're closest to, the people who you could call them at 3 o'clock in the morning and you know they would take your call. And if they were to call you at 3 o'clock in the morning, you would absolutely take their call. And ask them this simple question: why are we friends? You know, and they're going to look at you and be like, "What?" And then you actually stop asking why. Interestingly, the question why doesn't help answer that doesn't help you get to the answer, because the question why is an emotional question.
Uh-huh.
So then you switch to what, and you say, "Come on, what is it about me that's so special that we're such good friends?" And they'll start by saying, "I don't know." Now, of course, they know. It's just in the part of the brain that doesn't control language, and so they say, "I don't know." And you can't help them. You have to let them sweat. You have to play devil's advocate. And you can't let anybody else help them. And so they'll go, "I don't know." And they'll start describing you. "I don't know. You've always been there for me. I don't know. I don't know. Why are you asking me this?" You're like, come on. You know, humor me. You know, what is so great about me that we're such close friends? Like, I don't know. You're honest. Good. All your friends are honest, I would hope. What's so special about me? In other words, you keep pushing them and playing devil's advocate, saying that's the definition of a friend or a best friend, or you can get that from others, as they keep describing you, and eventually they'll give up. Eventually they'll give up and start describing themselves. And my friend said to me, "I don't know, Simon. All I know is that when I'm around you, I don't even have to talk to you. I can just be in the same room as you, and I feel inspired. And I got goosebumps." And goosebumps are an emotional reaction. In other words, they come from that limbic brain, that why center of the brain. You know, or you may well up with tears or emotion when you hear something that they tell you. That's when you know you're onto it. And you can do this with multiple friends, and they'll either say the exact same thing, or they'll say something that is, you know, the same meaning, if not the same words. And basically what they're telling you is the value that you have in their life is why you do what you do. The thing that you project into the world is the value that people have in you. And so to know that means you can do that all the time, and you can do it prescriptively, and everything runs in full cylinders. So that's a fun way of doing it.
Excellent. Well, let me ask you this. What is the key to translating all of this into customer loyalty and trust? I mean, how does it play itself out in communicating with the people who buy our products, who do business with us? And, I mean, you've mentioned in the context of our friends and relationships.
Yeah. Well, I don't distinguish between customers and employees, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a behavioral difference. I either believe what you believe and I want to work for you, or believe what you believe and I want to buy your products, you know? And the reason that your employees love you is because it's you. And the reason that your friends like you is because it's you. And if you're an entrepreneur and if you own your company is one of the things that you do in your life to bring your own self to life. In other words, it should be a manifestation of you. Virgin is Richard Branson. Apple is Steve Jobs. These companies are tangible manifestations of the people. And so it's the same thing for a small business. And so the thing that creates loyalty towards the business is the same thing that creates loyalty from your friends. They know who you are. They know what you stand for. They know that you're honest and that you'll do the thing that you believe. And if you don't, they'll worry about it, or they'll have concern, or they'll start to distance themselves. It's the same thing for business. You know, when we know what you stand for and you're consistent and you're honest and you are not self-serving and you're there for them when they need you, well, guess what? Then loyalty translates. You know, the human relationship between two people is the exact same thing as a human relationship between a person and a company. It's all the same thing. It's someone on the other end who wants to believe in you and trust you. What are you doing to engender belief and trust?
Excellent. Well, Simon, one other question for you. Our Vistage listeners want to know what you'll be talking about at the Think Big Vistage International Conference in January.
I'm going to share some of my new fascinations and stuff from my new book, which is all about commitment and sacrifice and loyalty. And how is it that some organizations, their people are willing to give everything to that organization where others can't? And it has nothing to do with how much we give them and how much we incentivize them. There's something going on in these companies that people are willing to give absolutely everything they've got. So I'll talk about that.
Excellent. Well, Simon, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with our Vistage listeners. For those of you listening, if you are interested in learning more about the Think Big conference, all you have to do is go to vistage.com/thinkbig. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast. And until next time, good luck with your business.